This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, come out to a pre-Super Bowl broadcast with Charlie Polillo, The Usual Suspects, and The Blitz at Twin Peaks, the 290 location. We'll be giving away a $250 Twin Peaks gift card for you so that you can host your own Super Bowl party at your choice of the Twin Peaks locations in town. You will have to be present at the broadcast to enter to win, and the gift card must be used on Super Bowl Sunday. And don't forget, stop by the ESPN table to enter to win and also play the Super Bowl squares to win other ESPN goodies. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I mean, have to break the diet.
We had the girls in the other day. They were great. They're from the Kirby location. They would love to have your Super Bowl party there. So definitely, if you're thinking about a Super Bowl party, Twin Peaks. But if you're thinking about catching us on a broadcast, catch us tomorrow. Charlie, as Barry mentioned, us and the Blitz will all be there off of 290. That's a good one. And welcome into the Sports Mappers as the 94.1 people join the fray after 2 hours on the ESPN 97.5.
Mark Schell, which rhymes with go to hell, said I should be automatically disqualified for my first song.
It did suck.
New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block sucks.
Hanging Tough.
Yeah.
No. You both.
I would agree with Mark. Mark is a smart individual.
Well, at least you played the right version.
That's a good point. Where's the karaoke version of that? Yeah, thanks for screwing me over and then playing that.
I should have played the karaoke version of the New Kids on the Block song you just chose.
Yeah, you chose to disrespect Prince.
Prince, yeah.
But you played the original NKOTB.
That's my bad.
So you're a boy band fan is what you're saying. Or you just want to crap on me and let Barry's List play. It's fine. That's fine.
I mean,
I really ran out of commercial time. I was really trying to find the right track. I swear.
Sure.
Karaoke was the next best thing.
No, that's fine.
Okay. The karaoke version was the next best thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
My bad, Joel.
It was the first worst thing that I heard. God, it was terrible.
Another text in. Barry should be disqualified for that garbage.
Yeah.
Especially when you lead with it. Like, maybe I could have, played it somewhere in the middle of the list. Nope. You led with New Kids on the Block.
I ain't scared. I ain't never scared. Okay. Never.
Okay, tough guy. For as much as you put into your list, I would have probably led with something else.
It's like a 7 whole minutes I invested in that list, man.
See?
Big time.
That's why the listeners value it so much and look forward to it every week.
That's why I should win.
Okay. I cringe at this one, but we'll get it in. Paul wants to talk about Dallas D. Paul, what's up?
Oof. What's going on, old man?
Wow. What's up, Paul?
Who's the old man?
I'm just jacking with you, man. Hey, look here. You may not be old enough to know, but who do you think was the best defensive person that Dallas ever had? You know, you had Bob Lilly, you had Tutal Jones, you had Harvey Martin, you had Randy White. Which one do you think is the best? I'll hang it up and let y'all jaw it out.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call.
First he called you too old.
No, he called Joel.
And then he said...
He said old man, not old men. He said old man.
And then he said, maybe you're old enough to remember this.
Old men, he said. But nice try.
The best Dallas...
He named most of them that I would have said.
Like Lilly?
He didn't name Deion.
But Deion didn't tackle. Doesn't matter. And he played with multiple teams.
Doesn't matter.
Harvey Martin, Tutal Jones, Randy White, and Bob Lilly for the old folks, which I did not see play. Thank you. But those four guys right there is where I would start it.
I'd go, did you just say Leon Lett?
I did not.
Oh, I'd go Leon Lett.
Well, would you?
When you put it up on the Googles, that's the third guy.
Is it?
What do they got on Google? Randy Charles White, Haley should be in there, too.
Randy White, Ed
Bob
Jones.
Bob Lilly, Leon Lett, Jermiah Ratliff, Marcus Spears.
Oh, wow. Ed Jones Chris is way Canty. Down there, huh?
And that list is crap then.
Yeah, if Ed Jones ain't top five, that's a bad list.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
What'd they call them? The Fearsome Foursome with Harvey Martin, Randy White, Ed Tutal Jones, and whoever else the other guy was. But yeah, that was when they were at their best. So I think we covered it.
Okay.
I was going to ask you guys, speaking of the Cowboys.
Yes.
There is a story, obviously because Romo's getting so much love for all of his commentary and predicting plays and reading everything that's going on with the X's and O's, that now he's starting to get real serious talk about he's going to be a coach someday. He's actually come out and said, as of yesterday, yeah, I think I'm going to coach someday, which he adds more fuel to the fire. But also, I give him credit for it because check out these numbers, fellas. Tony Romo made, anybody want to guess what he made last year for broadcasting?
I have no idea.
Was it 3.5?
$4 million.
Yeah, four.
So he got $4 million for being the number one analyst on CBS. Okay? Yeah. They're saying teams are throwing around $8 million for him to be a head coach.
That is just stupid.
All because of what he's doing to just predict plays in the broadcast booth.
Yeah. So what are you going to – are you going to make him the defensive coordinator who has the direct line to whoever the defensive captain is to say, hey, they're lined up? I mean, so you've got an offensive guy that's going to coach defense? Is that what you're saying? What position are you creating? Like, he's the psychic coordinator. He's predicting plays.
You bring up an interesting point
because he's an offensive guy,
right?
But his forte is predicting what the offense does. That doesn't benefit your own offense.
He's reading the defense.
It benefits your defense. So are you going to make him a DC? Are you going to make him a special assistant to the DC? And his whole sole job is to sit up in the booth and just, you know, call out, oh, it looks like they're going to run this. Oh, I didn't get that in a time because the mic shuts off with 15 seconds left to go on the play clock. This is dumb.
But this is why it's accelerated, because this is what the Rams are doing. Because now the networks have caught on to the fact that Sean McVay is in the helmet of Jared Goff up until the 15-second mark. And even when when I was mentioning to you when Manning's breaking down the film, if you've seen this ESPN show where he's breaking down, it's awesome. It's like Kobe did for basketball. And when he's breaking it down, he's actually going, I think right here, McVay is still in his ears, so he's still telling him what to look for. And then here's where he's relaying it to the offensive linemen who are saying, come on, man, I need to play. That's what's going on. And Romo could be the guy in his quarterback's ear going, okay, now because you got them overloaded on the right side, you've got single coverage with the tight end on the left, those kind of things, that's what's fueling even more the fact that people think he should be a head coach. And, of course, with Dallas putting Jason Garrett in limbo, of course Cowboy fans are going nuts.
It doesn't make him a good head coach. It makes him perfect for what he does, which is analyze the game and tell you about it.
When I thought about it, I'm thinking quality of life. Like, all right, how much are they paying me to be a broadcaster, and how much are they paying me to potentially be a coach? And if the numbers are accurate, $4 million to be a broadcaster and $8 million to be a coach, for me, I take $4 million less and be an analyst. Just break it down for everybody to understand. A lot of people respect it and not deal with the stress that comes along with, you know, being a head coach. And I think the other thing is, if he is really serious about being a coach because he has a passion for it, I think he should do it now rather than later, because my problem with the whole Gruden hire, it made sense for him to make that move because of the financial aspect and the fact that he's going to get all this power. But there was a big discrepancy between the last time he was a coach and the fact that he is now. And I feel like the game has evolved past him. Tony Romo has not been removed from the NFL that long.
Good point.
And I think if he's going to be a head coach, do it now, fail at it. People will still respect you as an analyst and you'll get paid. But for me, $4 million more to and I already have a lot in the bank to be a head coach and deal with all that stress, my vote is no, if those numbers are accurate.
What I don't understand is why when somebody is really good at what they do, does everybody want to change that?
Well, from Gruden's perspective, he did win a Super Bowl. So they're gonna say that he's been there and done that before too. Romo hasn't.
But there's like, okay, I'll give you an example. When you're really good at comedy, then people want you to do all kinds of comedy and go be an actor and do all of these other things when you're really good at this one thing. And you'll notice that when people start to do, like, Justin Timberlake was really good on Saturday Night Live one time, and now he starts to get all these roles and do all this acting. And so I know you're expanding your brand, but in this case, he's really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to change that? Why would you want to go, like, what you do as an analyst in the booth is not the same thing as a coach. There is so much more to coaching than just predicting what plays are.
And
so much more.
To Nick's the personality point, standpoint. The time, too. Coaches are sleeping at the office. Coaches are there all the time during the season because of preparing for meetings and tape and all the different things that they have to do. And Tony's got it pretty cushy right now. And that's why I think, to your point, Nick, if Gruden didn't get 10 years guaranteed at $10 million a year, everybody was right. He should have stayed in the booth. And obviously with the way he did everything his first year, from letting Matt go and Cooper go to all the different moves he made and getting rid of Reggie McKenzie as GM, it looks like he made the wrong decision. The only devil's advocate I'll give you for the game has passed me goodbye guy, Herm Edwards. We all thought, and I was first guy in line
I was too.
I thought he was going to fail miserably, and he did really well in his first year. But again, you also have to know, and you're smart enough to know, because it may have passed me, I got to get good coaches around me.
Well, I just don't leave Tony Romo where he is. He's perfect at what he does and where he's doing it. Why would you change that? I just don't. I think most of these teams, I think they fall in love with the idea of what he can do. He has no coaching experience. He has, like, breaking down film and all those things is one thing. Most guys in the NFL can do that. But Tony Romo isn't the only guy that knows what he knows.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
There are a ton of guys that, and there are a lot of coaches that taught him what he knows. So it's just like, he's good at what he does because he's passionate about it. He's smart and he's not afraid, because he was the first one to really do what he does.
Yeah.
There was nobody else that was predicting the plays ahead of time.
He's the Sean McVay right of the broadcast booth.
That's a great analogy. So I don't know. Don't change it. Why would you change that? Everybody's got this good thing going.
And here's
Tony Romo calling the game. Don't change that.
Here's a bigger thing. $4 million a year to work a day and a half a week with no stress.
Yeah.
As opposed to
more than a day and a half,
10
though,
mil
a year.
No, because they go and they get at least one
or
two
days
of practice. But
even if it's more, it's way less stress.
That's
right.
True.
You get one or two days of practice in to watch of each team you're covering. Normally it's one day. And then the walkthrough, that's when they go through what features they're going to do or what they want you to, what you want to key on with your production team and the graphics and stuff. And then you just do the game. And then you fly out.
Wow.
Little stress.
Give that up.
Great paycheck.
And the other thing,
and he's
to your
a golfer.
Point,
he loves to golf.
Absolutely. Man. And to your point, He knows plays. He knows football, right? But how does he deal with the 22-year-old millionaire?
Yeah.
That's the 23-year-old prospect or the guy that looks like he's going to get a lot of attention and it looks like he's going to the next team to get paid. How does he deal with that situation? And I think that's 50% of the game, if not more.
Yeah.
I mean, you can know football
and
all
God
you want.
God forbid he's got to deal with Jerry.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing.
That's a whole headache in itself. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just thought we'd throw that out there. But lots more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, the text and phone call line is 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. Back with more.
Hey, how you guys doing on your weight loss challenge? Are you you struggling to keep the weight dropping? Are you plateauing a little bit already? If you are, I've got something for you. Try Vortex. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. And I tell you what, you're going to love the workout that you get at Vortex. They've got the rumble classes, they've got the ride classes, which is boxing and spin. Both of them 45 minutes, so it's not a big time investment for you. You can take them in the morning, you can take morning classes, you can take afternoon classes. But what I love is, man, you show up, you throw your stuff in your locker, which, by the way, it's so cool. I brag about this because I just think it's fascinating. All their lockers have these USB ports. So if you're there before work or you've been working all day, you can charge your phone while you're working out. And then the locker rooms are really nice, by the way. They're well thought out. But then you're done. Like 45 minutes, you're in, you're out. You're not spending multiple hours at the gym following a bunch of nasty, sweaty dudes on machines that don't wipe it down. You get in there, you put your gloves on, you go hit that bag for 45 minutes, you put your shoes on, you go do the spin class for 45 minutes, and you're done. And they've got a great special right now. For $40, you get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. Unlimited. You can do as many workouts as you want to figure out what it is that you like, whether it's maybe you want to go a straight rumble package, or maybe you want to go just the ride, or maybe you want to do both. That $40 lets you take all the classes you want for a week, and then you get to decide from there. And you'll love the classes. You'll love the instructors. My guy Trey out there teaching class. He's not only teaching you, getting you in shape, but he's teaching you actually how to box. It's so cool, man. I enjoy the place. I enjoy the workouts, and I think you will too. They're 1707 West Gray is where they're located, right there, River Oaks, Midtown area. You can call them, 281-501-3094, 281-501-3094. But guys, the easiest way, just go online. VortexTexas.com is the location. That's VortexTexas.com. Man, the big payback. Got
to get back. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final hour of the show as we continue to roll on. You could have left this song off to the left.
Love this song.
You definitely lost.
It's a badass song.
Between this and New Kids on the Block, it's over for you, sir.
I would tend to agree.
This is the jam. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'll sing this driving around all day, every day. You must not know about me. To the left, to the left. Love it.
Wow.
Yeah, no one can suck it. I love this.
This is clearly a song.
I run to this.
No, you don't.
I swear to God,
you
I run
rushed
to this.
On your list and you were tired of looking for songs.
I was like,
why you picked this song.
Right here. I've run to this song.
Why would you
I'll
run to this
you.
Song?
I'll show you my running list. This
doesn't get you pumped up for running.
This is the perfect, like, the cadence, the steps. If you run on beat, that's what I look for. I look for songs that I can sing to. That I can run on beat, like every snare hit.
Trip
I
want when my your right foot or has left to go foot real quick like that.
No, you don't know how to keep a beat, bro. A beat
I'm talking
four.
About
one,
when she
two,
says to
three,
the left, to the left.
Four.
You got to hit that left foot.
Oh my!
Like
running and two stepping at the same time. How do you run? How do you run to Beyonce?
It's awful.
Do you not hear the beat? One, two, three, four. So your feet hit with the.
You
beat.
You sound exactly like my two stepping instructor. I swear.
Dude, if you can't run to a, if you don't understand how running to a beat works, well, obviously you never run.
No, I don't. Fat Nick.
But I'm just saying, like, when your right foot hits, I want my right foot to hit every snare beat.
That's so weird to me.
No, like,
Joel,
you're
a runner.
You know,
I just want a song that pumps me up so
do
I
you
keep
know what
going.
The best running song is? Like, the perfect pace for me is Little John and the Eastside Boys' Bia Bia.
Oh, I do know that song.
Perfect running song. As far as like pace,
yeah.
It's a nice little 8.5-9 minute mile, 1-2-1. Like, it is perfect for running. Love it. That's one of my home stretch songs. I'll just put that on if I'm coming down my last mile. Playing that.
You're really
perfect.
Tired and trying to get that second
that's
win.
That's right. Put that
I
on
just
to
put
keep up with
something
it.
Something that fires me up so that I push through it.
Well, like, for me, that's Beyonce, okay? Don't judge me.
Wow.
Don't judge me. Damn, I was expecting Barry to play some Debbie Gibson.
That's next. Stay tuned.
Barry's talking crap about Thriller, and he's picking these trash songs. Disqualify Barry. No. No. We don't vote anymore, so y'all can suck it.
That's a good point.
I changed my mind. Barry should be fired. That's from Mark Schell. I love these songs. I don't care that you guys don't like it. This week is
See,
for
me.
See,
that's the fine line. That's going back to like what Lance was talking about. Do you want something that is personally from the heart and from what you really like, or do you want to pander
yeah,
to the audience?
I could pander like Joel, or I could play this stuff.
I'm trying to like help you, and then you point at me.
He was like getting your back there.
Was he?
Yeah.
And then you just crapped all over it.
Flying through it.
Well, I thought you were still making fun of me.
No.
Oh. Well, I mean, you do pander a little.
How?
Come on, bro.
Dude, you guys, first he of all, hold
everybody
you guys
of
busted my
though.
Balls Nick, every week when Nick, I put a song for Nick, this song here.
Does he pander with his list?
I don't know if he's
pandering. Every chance he gets to put Fat Pat
on. I love that song. That's a great running song. That's on one. Whenever I run, I listen to Fat Pat. I'm telling you right now. But the thing is that you guys, I learned from you guys bashing my list going, I mean, it's a good song, but why would you put it on the list? Because, you know, people are going to hate it. So I was like, well, okay. So do you play a little for the audience? And also, if you're the first person in, you can get the best songs when we do it.
Yeah.
But I felt like there was plenty for everybody here.
Today
there was plenty. Yeah.
Unless you did it in 7 minutes.
Barry, you definitely run a 10.5 minute mile. Oh, come run with me. Playboy, come run with me.
I probably run a 10.5 minute mile.
When I'm running, you know, 3 times a week, I'll be at about an 8 minute mile. So feel free.
When you are.
Yeah, when I'm not running right now, but once I start, it'll take me about 2 weeks to get down below 9 minute miles.
Well, what I was doing up until last week, which
Bring
was
it, son.
I would run 3 or 4 miles just by watching something on video,
uh-huh.
And then do 100, 400s. So one
yeah,
time around
right,
the track,
right. sprint
the
straightaway,
and then
walk
keep
the curve.
Up in the sprints. And yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, that'll get your cardio up in a hurry.
Your man card has been declined. Do you have another car you can use?
Wait till you put a ring on it.
Yeah, I don't. You guys think you're hurting my feelings? I don't care what you think about my song choices and my running list.
The rest of your list is not too bad.
No, we don't care what these.
But Beyonce and New Kids on the Block.
That's almost a third of his list. New Kids on the Block and Beyonce. I mean, I've only got seven songs. There's two of them, and they suck.
I got seven.
Well, I mean, that he's got four songs remaining. So
my list is like the Rockets game last night. First quarter, great. Except mine was first quarter sucked.
Yeah.
The rest, it was the opposite. I had one bad quarter. They had three.
You just brought,
kind of flipped it.
Huh? You just brought Beyonce's song into it, and that's where the demise started coming in the fourth. That's when James grabbed the ball and ran out of bounds. All right. Speaking of the Rockets, Barry.
hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to get this one in, only because he deserves it. Barry, your music selection today is still better than Nick's Thanksgiving Craptacular songs.
Oh, yeah.
Compare Liz. Thanksgiving was the worst day in the history of the show.
But it's not fair to compare Liz
music.
From different themes, though. That's not fair.
It was the worst day
there
in the history.
There was some really bad music that day.
You sucked so bad.
But
on
we've moved past. We moved past that, though.
But have we though? I love how he's like, have we just came back up?
On. Yeah,
that's funny. All right, sorry.
Zach wants to get in here on the Rockets. Zach, what's up?
Hey, first off, don't bash Beyonce, bro.
Thank you.
Can't go at Beyonce, bro.
Thank you,
Zach. Are you
Beyonce is automatically okay, bro.
Thank you, Zach. You must be a member of the Beehive.
I mean, not really, but I'm from Houston, and Houston stands around Beyonce.
Thank you,
Zach. Thank you, Zach. Nothing wrong with Beyonce. Pick the right song. I picked Crazy in Love.
No, y'all.
Okay, okay. Oh, I'll take that, but me and Beyonce are kind of in a relationship, but that's another conversation. We got to talk about the Rockets.
Okay.
Right. My friend, I got a friend of mine. He's like one of those lofty, like, idiot Rocket fans. I'm telling him that there's no way we're going to get AD. But he thinks that I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about. But if you would kindly, like, just visit the subject. I don't know if y'all did already. I just kind of came on. But he's listening. So I want him to hear y'all say it and so he can get it through his head. Because right now he's in a dreamland.
Okay, Zach, appreciate the call.
What was the question?
I mean, for me, the chances of Anthony Davis coming to the Houston Rockets, he doesn't believe that Anthony Davis will come to the Houston Rockets, and I think his friend believes that he could possibly
come. Who's a red Kool-Aid drinking rowdy?
I would say that the chances are slim and none, and slim's on the IR.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. Right. The biggest thing is, if you're New Orleans, you're rebuilding, and you want players you can rebuild with. If Clint Capella, which is pretty much the best thing that the Rockets can offer that might entice New Orleans, is the best you can say, New Orleans, hey, you want to build a team around Clint Capella? When you're looking at three young guys from the Lakers and a number one pick, when you're looking at if the Celtics get involved this summer and they can throw a Jaylen Brown and some Terry Rozier type guys and high lottery picks that the Celtics have, even if the Rockets, and we said this, Daryl's going to pick up the phone, but their other offers are going to be so much exponentially better than what the Rockets can offer that it's a pipe dream.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing, and we kind of alluded to this yesterday on the program, is that you got to remember how much leverage the player has, how much power the player has. And Woj kind of made mention to this on the broadcast when they found out that he requested the trade and it became public. Mm-hmm. For some teams, it was a foregone conclusion because it's about where Anthony Davis's head is. And it seems like right now that he wants to be a Laker. And there's no indicator that says Anthony Davis wants to be a Rocket. And it kind of starts there to some extent. He has to want to come here.
No, that's not true. He has no say in where he goes. Beyond the first year and a half.
He doesn't have the bargaining power now.
Right.
Right.
They're going to, New Orleans is going to take the best deal that they get. If Anthony Davis says, I don't like you guys, I want out. Okay, but we're going to pick where you go based on the best deal. You don't get to choose this and choose that. You know, when you hit free agency, great.
But the power that he has is, fine, send me to the Houston Rockets, but I guarantee you I won't re-sign.
Sure.
So do you know what that team's going to do? No, I'm not going to do the trade. That's how the indirect power works.
No. What that does is, here's the thing. Essentially,
unless you know you're getting
a
rental because your window of winning is
you can dictate.
But if a team knows, if the team wants Anthony Davis because they want him to be on the team, and they get the vibe that he doesn't want to be on the team, guess what? They're not going to make the trade.
Unless you can dump salary too. Like if you can say, like, hey, I'm going to, you know, we've got these guys that we might lose as well, and our win. I think there are scenarios.
You can demand a trade. You can't demand where you're going. It's just that what other teams have to give up to get him is going to be very much, it's a variable that's going to be determined by if they can re-sign him or not. That's why I said short-term, teams that don't care just want him for the next year and a half to try and win, Toronto, Milwaukee. But teams that are looking for a long-term fix, yeah, that's not, you're not going to have to give up as much, but you're not going to get him. Because the long-term fix is what New Orleans is looking for. They want, while they still have the bargaining power, teams that are going to offer up the whole kitchen sink. And they know that the more time that goes by and the smaller the window is that you have him before maybe he does go to L.A., you're going to give up less and less because you're going to go, hey, I'm not going to have him for that long. I'm not giving you that much. So it's going to be tough.
And not only that, but so like we talked about the fact that you could – I mean, Clint Capela is 24 years old. You've got, what else are you going to offer them though? Because if they're trying to get younger and build a nucleus, are you going to offer them like Eric Capela Gordon? And well, but he's not,
that's what I'm saying. Point, he's not going to fit what they want.
So as far as him coming here, it's not that I don't think the Rockets wouldn't want him or whether he chooses not to come here. Cause it would be for a rental. It would be like, this is our window. We've got, you know, we've got, Gordon and Paul and an aging, you know, Harden is getting a little older and Nene and, we've got a couple of years left to try this. So I think that I could see a rental scenario for a team like the Rockets. They just don't have what it takes to get the job done.
Fair. Yep.
Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Capela and House and picks through 2025?
I mean, House isn't signed. So
yeah, that's when you'd have to sign him.
It doesn't entice the team that's trading for him to get him.
So as far as just your buddy thinking he's coming here, I just don't see that they have the assets.
I don't either. Yeah. By the way, he did. Anthony Davis did get fined $50,000 for demanding a trade under the new collective bargaining agreement.
Is that a thing? You can't do that?
Yeah, they made this whole thing. Now, the Pelicans, when they made their statement about the fact that they're going to do it their way, said they're also going to ask the league to closely monitor tampering, players talking to players, other people talking about
really?
It's going to be a pain in the ass because you know what? Everyone's doing it. They had video of when they played the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo saying, hey, man, come to Milwaukee. We'll take you. You going to get fined for that?
That's so stupid that you would. That's not to me. That's not tampering. That's just talking.
They're just trying to protect the
tampering
small market.
To me, tampering is if you have evidence that the Lakers go to him and say, "Hey, man, we want you to come here. You should go in and demand a trade, and we'll start work." That's tampering. But just be like, "Man, we would love to have that guy on our team." That's not tampering. That's talking. That's stupid. By the way, this is a great song. Y'all can suck.
The karaoke.
Like I
song.
Said, the rest of his songs are not bad.
No,
I like the
karaoke version
song.
Of this song is fire. We'll be back with the final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! A little less than a half hour to go with the big show. Before we turn over to the Blitz, they'll take you home until 7 o'clock right here on The Usual Suspects.
Flew by today.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Correction, as always, because our listeners get involved. Doomsday defense was that old Cowboys front four.
Get it right, Joel.
I said fearsome foursome, which was the Rams with Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, I did see where Buddy kind of corrected everything, but I was like, well, we can get enough of that.
I'll take it on myself. That's on me. I'll take that. So I've taken it.
Oh, take this. Best lead-in song you've ever played right there.
Yeah, that the one right there song is probably fantastic. The best song on your list. Absolutely.
Yes, without question. That's on my workout and my running.
No, not for
that
one
is
song.
Also on my running list.
Love that song.
Barry, do your man boobs slap you in the face when you go running your 8-minute mile? That's from AT&T. No.
No, but his balls do.
I wish. That'd be pretty badass right there.
You'd be a bad man if that was the case.
Don't listen to him, Barry. Your choice of music is awesome. Too bad George Michael wasn't part of the music choice. Thank you. I would agree with that, too.
I think when I played George Michael, I got killed.
Oh, yes, you did.
Well,
you played absolutely Wham.
Yeah, no,
you played Wham. And
big
George Michael.
Difference.
No, you just played Wham.
Huge difference.
People love them some Wham, man.
I love the way he was like, people love them some Wham. All right, sorry. I digress. No more text.
All right, so breaking news also because, of course, you know, the commissioner, as we mentioned earlier, was having his annual press conference during Super Bowl week. He's come out and said that the NFL will discuss changes to instant replay during the off season.
Good.
And as part of that, he also addressed, obviously, the elephant in the room, the Saints, the Rams, and whether pass interference should have been called.
I was very open, just as I was here. It's a play that should be called. We're going to make sure that we do everything possible to address the issues going forward and see if there are improvements that we can make through instant replay or anything else.
You know what pisses me off about that, especially if I'm a Saints fan? Is it doesn't change the fact that we got screwed out of a Super Bowl appearance because of it.
So that's interesting you say that.
It doesn't change it.
He then further went on to address the fact that a lawsuit was brought, that the obviously Michael Thomas brought up the rule that says a game would be replayed or picked up from where it was being played when that call was made, and he had this to say.
The commissioner will not apply his authority in cases of complaints by clubs concerning judgmental errors or routine errors by game officials. Games involving such complaints will continue to stand as completed. So that was not a consideration.
Which I think is fair. I don't think you're not going to replay that game.
No, you're not. But can I say this? All of that would have been so much more impactful if he did it the day after the game was played.
True.
So you wanted him to speak, but speak earlier?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with that criticism. But for Saints fans, like, I don't know what you expected him to say. And I actually kind of alluded to this a couple shows ago. He's probably going to circle back to the refs and say they should have done a better job and see about how they can improve the situation and that the games would not be replayed. That's literally what I said, because that's all he can say. Now, timing of it, I kind of agree with you. He probably could have addressed this a bit earlier, considering the significance of the playoff game and how bad the Saints got screwed, because it was a terrible call. But at the end of the day, what do you expect the commissioner to do?
I think you have to come out and be, you have to face it head on. And what this guy did is he allowed his PR team and everyone else to craft what would be the most politically correct, the easiest language, and the perfect message to allow them to avoid as much, you know, heat as possible, as opposed to just coming out and saying, you know what, as a league, as an organization, we blew it. We owe the Saints an apology. I know there's nothing we can do about it now, but I can promise you going forward, we're going to fix this and get it right so that the two best teams are in the Super Bowl when they're supposed to be. If you say something like that, no one's arguing with you. Mm-mm. But he chose not to. And that's part of the problem.
And the thing is, it's also, so the blame should be also on his PR staff, because his PR staff should be the savvy ones to say that when sometimes he's not thinking straight, he was in another city watching the other game. Someone should have said to him, look, boss, you got to talk about this and talk about it as soon
as you
can.
Address it head on.
Yep. As like, soon as you can.
You know what? We haven't looked at all the video. I want to go over this further, but from what I've seen and what I've been told, it looks like we blew it. Looks like The Saints should have had. You don't have to say the Saints would have won, because we don't know that. The field goal might have been blocked. They may have fumbled. The long snapper may have sneezed and hiked it over their head. And you can't predict the future, but you can say that without a doubt that call was missed. They should have had the ball first and goal there, and then whatever would have happened.
We just played the audio clip saying that the call should have been made.
I know, but it's too little, too late now. You waited this long,
so
which was
basically what Joel was saying, the timing of it.
It doesn't hold water as much, because you waited until it died down. You waited until you could craft the perfect message and be like, well, I mean, just come out and say, you know what? It looks like we screwed it up. We're going to make this better. I don't know how, I don't know when, but we're going to try to fix it, guys. Please don't.
I agree with that approach. I think you should totally own up to it and say, hey, this is what we can do to make it better. This is what we can do to try to make it better. I think he would have got the hate regardless, though. Even if he approached it that way, even if he addressed the media a bit earlier. You're talking about a Roger Goodell, a guy that gets booed at every single NFL draft. He's going to get hate, especially by Saints
fans. His track record has set that up for him.
But all you have to do, you can still, I mean, these are smart PR people. You can come out that night at the commissioner's podium in NFL headquarters.
Well, no, he was at the Chiefs game.
Okay. Well, then you come out and you get in front of the reporters and you say, look, I saw the play. I'm not an official. It looked like we have an issue. It looked like there was a missed call that may have cost the Saints a first and 10 at whatever point on the field it was. I don't know if it was 12-yard line or whatever. We've got to do better as a league. We've got to do better internally. We're going to look into this, and we're going to try to fix this going forward so that if this was missed, if this was an issue, we don't do that again. But I don't know. I felt like that they were like, oh, we got to make sure we don't screw this up again, because they're so used to screwing things up, which they have.
I mean, I guess I'm the guy that obviously is defending Roger Goodell a little bit more on this show, but the speech the clips that we just played was pretty predictable. Like, if it was really, if it was something that he was so worried about screwing up, like, I think everybody knew those were the two clips that were going to.
Sure, Nick, but predictable becomes acceptable based on timing. Because then you don't have a full week to stew on it and have all the Saints fans bring up the lawsuits and get more ticked off and then realize it's Super Bowl week and we're not going. And then it just keeps building like a big steam engine, as opposed to, hey, it's like Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens. My bad. I did it. It's on me. My fault. Andy Pettit gets forgiven a whole lot quicker than Clemens, who fought it and fought it and fought it and kept being the resistant one. And then when he did come out and try and say anything at all, it was like, forget it. So,
I love when we talk about this, and then everybody becomes the ball was tipped. What about the hands to the face? What about the face mask? What about this? Like, well, that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
This is about how Roger Goodell handled everything
and how he approached
it. That's what we're talking about.
In general, it's how he handles the league, because that's what Nick's saying. If he had a perfect track record leading up to this, too, people might be a little bit more understanding. But because of that, it just makes it worse.
And then somebody said that Saints fans are being crybabies. It was an Eagles fan. Bro, if this would have happened to the Eagles, you would be crying up in that text box like nobody's business. So don't even start that. The Saints fans have a legitimate argument and beef, and any other fan base that says that it's you know, sour grapes, and you would be the same way. So stop that.
It's completely true. There you go. We got one segment to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Take me
all the way. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back to the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride as we have had a fun one. I don't know that we needed that.
Okay. You don't like Seven by Prince?
Not one of my favorites.
Oh, I love this song.
But the Purple Man's a genius, so you know I'm a fan.
Great song. I do know you're a fan.
Diamonds and Pearls.
Yeah. I feel like that's a sexual song.
Who cares?
I'm just saying.
Don't run, then don't run to it. How about that? Don't work your cadence on that one. How about that?
I feel like most of Prince's songs are about sex. Isn't a little red Corvette about a certain body part?
I think it is.
I believe you're right.
Is it about the whole thing or just what's under the hood? That's the best way I could put it.
Google it. Just, I don't know.
I mean, don't you feel like it's just about the one spot? That? It's about the one spot you're supposed to rub and not the whole Virginia.
Okay.
I feel like.
It's more about North Virginia than South Virginia.
Well, there's no North Virginia. But
you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I feel like,
saying it on the radio.
What's under the hood was the best way I could put it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
What's under the hood sounds more about the top shelf than it is below the equator.
Well, okay.
And we've successfully sauced it up on the pickup line at the school again.
All right. Felt like I kept that very classy.
Stop it. All right, so we were talking about this whole regurgitation of this play with the Saints and everything like that, so it was only fitting. Clarence is on hold, our resident Saints fan. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up? First off, Eagles fans. Go eat a cheesesteak and suck it. We beat you twice.
Wow!
Secondly, I sat up there and I watched that whole press conference. And as soon as he started, and you look at him and he's looking down and he's reading whatever essay his publicist or people wrote for him, I could tell it was just going to go south from there. And I was just waiting for someone. and it had to be Jeff Triplett to go ahead and ask the question about it. And after a week and a half, an entire week and a half, to stew on this and find the right thing to say, you say absolutely the worst thing. You didn't even really address it. And here's the thing. Saints fans, and I'm speaking for me and probably most white people, we're not mad about that. We are mad that there are no consequences to it. Everybody in the known world has a job. You mess up with your job, guess what? There's going to be some sort of consequence. Written up by anything. There's no consequences to what happened. And you can't say you won't fire a ref. Guess what? You did one earlier this year. So that's why everyone is still mad. You said the wrong things, and you had no consequences to them doing a bad job. And it's supposed to be the all-star of officiating. It's supposed to be the blitz of the usual suspects of the officiating, NFC and AFC alike. And you're supposed to hold them to a higher standard, and there's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, appreciate the call,
yeah, thanks, Clarence.
He wants to fire somebody. He wants a ref fire.
What's wrong with that?
He wants someone's head on the platter.
I agree with that. If you're firing refs for blowing like offsides calls
in that Chargers game,
this could have potentially cost the team a trip to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you can't fine a guy. You can't give him a warning. A guy can't make a mistake.
I agree. With you. I mean, the NBA has a system
you don't think
in place.
Made
a grading
mistake before
system
now.
Yeah, but
they all have.
But do you know for sure that these mistakes are not few and far between, that he's making these mistakes all the time? We don't know that.
No.
The NBA has a grading system, so the referees. But again, the NFL, they're rewarding their supposed best officials by giving them these playoff games. And so I would assume that they have a rating system, too, based on calls.
Well, guess what? The reality is humans make mistakes in high-pressure situations. Sometimes a heart surgery doesn't go right. You know what happens to the doctor? Nothing. You know what happens
sued
to the patient?
No, he gets sued. No, he gets sued.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does. Nicholas, come on, man.
Do you know why my wife won't be a doctor?
There's a
malpractice insurance is ridiculous because doctors get sued every day for that.
That's very common. The guy who did my dad's eye surgery 25 times has like 5 or 6 malpractice lawsuits. But yeah, you know what? Sometimes they're allowed to make a mistake, okay? Because it's a high-pressure situation and you're signing in about 1,000 places, initialing in about 500 places to protect him. Okay, people are allowed to make mistakes in high pressure situations. We're human; it happens.
Yeah, but what you have to have
doesn't mean you get a redo. You know that patient doesn't get a redo.
No,
his heart's
messed
up.
In the case of NFL officials, I mean, your job is to officiate and to see those things. And I mean, he wasn't out of position. He clearly saw the play and just did not make the call. You have to reprimand an official. That's his job to make that call.
You don't have
and
to fire him.
Exactly. You can reprimand.
You absolutely should fire a guy.
No, you don't have to fire him because this guy might have made big plays. And when they went back and looked at tape, said, man, he made a call with the naked eye that we're having a hard time deciphering on video. So that was a hell of a call. It just happened that everything is magnified when the game has this much riding on the line in the one time that he made a mistake.
Well, I mean, I do agree if it would be based off of his track record,
right,
too. I would say that. I mean, I do agree.
Like, maybe he does
really
have a bad track record.
Then
maybe
he just screwed up. Okay, he screwed up and point, then, you know, 3 strikes and you're out or whatever. But I would be willing to bet you that guys like that.
A surgeon that screws up, there's a chance you get put on probation. But one mistake isn't going to cost you your job.
It's not.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's not.
I guess.
You don't want to, but you will. For the sake of the fact that it's 3:55.
Hey, guys, come out tomorrow. Pre-Super Bowl broadcast with Charlie Palillo, Usual Suspects, and The Blitz. We are at the Twin Peaks 290 location. We'll be giving away a $250 Twin Peaks gift card that you can use to host your own Super Bowl party at your choice of Twin Peaks locations. You have to be present at the broadcast to enter the win, and the gift card must be used on Super Bowl Sunday. And don't forget, stop by our table, our ESPN table. You can get in on the Super Bowl squares and win all kinds of ESPN swag. This is a great song.
You want to really own that?
Love this song.
See, I don't know how you win. That's the third terrible song that you have on your list. The Judds, Mama, He's Crazy. Joel, do you know this song?
Nope.
Okay.
You're a damn liar, Joel.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I'm
you
not.
You told me to put it on the list.
Wrong. I told you to play Madonna Mama, Playground. Mama, he's crazy. You're singing it.
I used to DJ in a country bar. Of course I know the Judds.
Nick, at some point we gotta revisit the fact that you're taking two-step lessons.
No, I'm not taking any more lessons. But I'm just saying the instructor at the time.
Why would
the instructor be one Barry Laminack who's instructed in the past?
Yeah. I know.
Now what I want now that we know this is next week we're going to find someone here that'll two-step with you and do it on camera and see how good you are.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Because that's good video.
After I did the Thriller today?
Hey, that was on your own. You volunteered.
I don't care.
I know. That's why you volunteered.
Right. So you can volunteer to dance. All right, fellas. Good one. We will be at Twin Peaks tomorrow, as Barry just said, off of 290. Come on by and see us. Chance to do some squares for the Super Bowl. Maybe win yourself a $250 gift card at Twin Peaks.
High five me for the best list of the day.
And on that note, folks, have a great night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.